Happy Father's Day, all the dads. What's up, dads? Happy Father's Day. Happy day where you either get to grill because you like it or you get to go out to dinner because you don't like grilling. So, like, happy Father's Day to you. This morning I got up, I got ready for Father's Day, and I got up in the mirror, and I looked in the mirror, and I realized I have more wrinkles this year than I thought I did last year, and definitely more gray hair in my beard. Anybody else feel that pain? Yeah, have you ever looked in a mirror and, like, really started to, like, look at what you see? Like, sometimes it's not very flattering. Like, you look in the mirror, and sometimes you're like, hey, I did a wedding yesterday. I had my suit on. I look good. Today, it's mediocre. But you ever, like, think metaphorically, like, what's it look like to look at ourselves, to reflect on ourselves? Like, there are parts of our life, parts of our journey where it's really easy to look in the mirror and to think, like, yeah, I can see that. Like, you can see when you're getting angry. Like, you can observe it. Sometimes we just blow right past the stop signs and the yield signs, like we just go right there anyway, but we can typically see what we look like when we're angry. We can see what we look like when we're nervous. You know, we've all probably got a tell for when we're getting nervous, when we look in the mirror, or maybe we reflect on ourselves, like the way we talk, the way we act, a little nervous twitch. Like, we can see things like when we're happy, we can recognize that in ourselves. We can recognize when we're afraid, but there's times in our journey, times in our life where, if we're being honest, we're just not really good at being able to see our own reflection and see what our character traits may be in certain times of life. And one of those is one I want to talk about today. It's a little difficult to talk about, and I think at the end, I think maybe we can understand the significance and importance of it. But oftentimes, we are not so good at being able to look at ourselves and identify the times when we're being ungrateful. We aren't good at identifying our own ingratitude. In fact, there's some tells that we're not very good at it, because if someone was to point it out to us, you're just not being very grateful. We get real defensive about it. Like, yes, I am. You can't tell me I'm not being grateful. And then maybe, like, sometimes for me anyway, like, I'll start to replay in my mind, like, here's how I was being grateful, and here's how I was thankful, and I really appreciated that someone did this for me, and I really appreciated they went out of their way, and I was so grateful that they did that for me. And the problem is, for most of us, like, that conversation remains internal, and we just don't recognize it. Like, we are typically a really good people about being grateful in our mind, but we don't do a really good job of expressing it. And then we kind of get defensive about, yes, I am, because we kind of get the two confused. When we think we're grateful for something or for someone and fail to express it, we kind of get in the muck and the mess there of realizing that I am typically just not very grateful an expression, my gratitude. And that's not very fun to talk about. Like, nobody likes it. That's like, oh, come on, Pastor. This is supposed to be a series on the good news. You're not supposed to make me feel bad, and that's not where I'm going today. But I want to help us understand that when we understand the good news, it ought to play out in our gratitude all around. It ought to play out in our attitude of gratitude all around. Like, we've been there. We've been in situations where we did something, said something, were part of something, and just didn't get the gratitude or the expression of thankfulness that we thought we deserved or thought we should get. And it affects the way we live, and it affects the way we function, and it affects the way we have relationships with people. Like, for me, like, I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunities and the caring people and the loving people that have come into my life, for the big and significant events and for the things that maybe even seem so small. But I oftentimes get caught up in failing to express my gratitude. An ingrateful attitude, an ungrateful attitude, can really be a detriment in some of the most powerful relationships in our life. We know this to be true because we've experienced it. We've seen beef that starts in relationships because we once were very grateful for each other and expressed it, and then we started to take each other for granted. Ungratefulness, ingratitude, when we miss opportunities to express gratitude to people, it does damage to some of our most important and valuable relationships. And this isn't new. This isn't like it just popped up in 2021. In fact, if you read through the scriptures, this happened to Jesus a lot. One time, Jesus, like, specifically addresses it. Luke chapter 17, if you got a Bible, you want to turn there, you want to click there today, it's going to be up on the screen as well. Luke 17, like, Jesus goes through a very similar experience. We'll pick up on verse 11. It says, as Jesus continued toward Jerusalem, so he's on a journey, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. Verse 12, as he entered a village, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance. So we understand, like, the context of leprosy. Like, leprosy was a really nasty disease back in Bible times, and it was thought to be highly contagious. Oftentimes, if you came down with the symptoms of leprosy, you were cast out of the community. out of the city, out of the village, left to form like a colony out on your own. I mean, this was a big deal. People were treated differently to what they knew there wasn't a cure, a way to prevent it, and it was so contagious. It was better just to push people out and let them die. So separated from their family in all sorts of pain, skin problems, extremities problems. Like, it was nasty. Nobody wanted it. So these guys are outside the village. Jesus is passing through, and they recognize him. So they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." It seems like a reasonable request. Like, people who were aware of what Jesus was, maybe they'd heard stories about Jesus. Maybe they'd experienced or been able to witness before they got sick. Like, "Oh, this is Jesus. Like, I know what he does, man. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And then Jesus responds, verse 14. He looked at them and said, "Go show yourself to the priests." Jesus, that's not really what we were hoping for. Sure, thanks. We'll go to church, I suppose, if we need to. We'll go check out the priests. But we were kind of hoping for something more personal, like maybe a touch, a hand, you're healed. Like, any of those would be sufficient. I mean, but Jesus responds in a way that Jesus would often do it. Doesn't make sense to us, but there's reasons behind what he did. And he says, as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Like, the leprosy starts, I don't know, falling off their skin, the sores and the boils and the wounds and the feeling starts to come back to their extremities and the pain starts to subside and they're on this journey to go see the priest because it's what Jesus told me to do. It doesn't make any sense, but it's what I'll do. And in their faithfulness on the journey, he healed them. Like, what an incredible statement. So is this some context? Like, this wasn't as crazy as maybe you would think. In the Jewish tradition, in the practice, when someone was identified with leprosy and they were kicked out, they were removed from family, they were sent on their way, they were colonized outside of everywhere else where they just had to gather together with other people with leprosy, it was common that if you, like, all of a sudden the leprosy went away, like if you were no longer sick with the disease, if for whatever reason that wasn't very common but sometimes happened, you no longer had leprosy, your first move was to go back to the priest and the priest would examine you. And if the priest examined you and determined you're right, you don't have leprosy anymore, you could rejoin society. You could go back to your community. You could go back to your homes. You could go back to your family, back to your life. Like, this was a big deal. So knowing this, Jesus was like, "Hey, I know the steps that are going to take place anyway, so go ahead and make your way. And on your way, I'm going to do some healing work in you." So it wasn't that crazy, but Jesus, I love to read into the text. Jesus, you know, if one leper gets healed and goes back to the priest, this isn't an uncommon practice. They probably roll up like, "Hey, Mr. Priest guy, I think my leprosy's gone. You give a look," and the priest is probably, you know, doing his thing. He's like, "Oh, yeah, it looks good. No big deal." But when 10 lepers roll up to the priest, "Excuse me, Mr. Priest fella, we've all been healed." You knew there was going to be like, "Excuse me? Pardon? What happened?" And Jesus, being Jesus, knowing what happened, they were going to be forced to answer. Well, you know Jesus, right? Like, everybody's talking about Jesus, like the king, the new king of the Jews, the son of God. He's come to heal and to cleanse and to set us free, our savior. You know Jesus, right? To which, you know, Jesus is probably back going, because the priest didn't like Jesus. So Jesus is like, No, he wasn't like that. But you get the idea. Like, Jesus knew exactly what he's doing, and he stages this out, and he puts this plan into motion, and they're cleansed of their leprosy. 10 of them leave. They go talk to the priest, and they come back, and they're healed. They're cleansed of their leprosy. 10 guys, like, this changed everything for them. They'd lost everything, no choice but to respond like, "Wow, Jesus healed me." If you grew up in church, if you grew up going to VBS in Sunday school, you probably heard this story before, because we start to get fixated on this part of the story in verse 15. One of them saw that he was healed. Oh, man. One of them saw that he was healed, and he came back to Jesus, shouting, "Praise God, praise God, praise God, I've been healed." Verse 16 says he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Now, you may think, like, why would it say that he's a Samaritan? Why would it tell us that he's a foreigner? Here's the thing, like, of the 10 people, like, this Samaritan wasn't a follower. He didn't subscribe to faith in our God. Like, this was outside his realm of understanding and upbringing. And then to experience the healing power of Jesus, like, whoa, I got to go back and tell this guy thank you. This changed my life in more ways than one. And as Christians, sometimes we read this part of the story and we think, man, what an amazing gesture of gratitude. This guy comes back and praises Jesus and throws himself at his feet. And man, what an incredible part of the story. And then Jesus puts a little twist on it. Verse 17, Jesus asks, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner? And we understand, like, when Jesus would ask questions, it wasn't to obtain information. He's Jesus. Like, some of my favorite passages in the scripture in the New Testament were when it would say, like, Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he answered their question, like, if I had a superpower. Jesus didn't ask questions to obtain information. He asked questions to get us to dig into our own thought life and what we thought about things and what we understood as reality in the moment. So Jesus asked the question, poses this question to understand, like, this is a big deal. I healed 10 of you, and you went on your way, and only one came back. Where's the other nine? Where's your gratitude? Where's your thankful heart? He points to this question like, this is a big deal. And then verse 19, he's like, dude, I know I'm preaching to the choir. Verse 19, Jesus says to the man, so stand up and go in your faith. You're healed. And he goes on his way, goes back to the life that he was returning to. Easy conclusion in this story is that we get really stuck on the fact of, like, I can't believe those nine people. Wow. For shame. Jesus did all these good things to heal you, you ungrateful person. Like we want to posture up as a Christian and be like, you know what? But maybe for a second, maybe we could reflect and maybe we're not so dissimilar. I mean, Jesus gave them back so many things. He gave them their family back, and he gave them their life back, and he gave them their community back, and he gave them their friends back, and their careers back. Like, Jesus in the healing, like, brought all these things, restored all these things to them. It got me thinking this week, because I was preparing, when I was growing up, 90s kid, where's my 90s kids? Four of us. Wow, we are old. That hurts a little bit. 90s growing up, like, the music we listened to was the rage. Like, everybody wanted to just either be a big fan, big proponent, or, like, tear it down, it's terrible. And there was this big uprising in the United States back in the 90s about, there is evil messages if you play music backwards. Like, some of these songs on pop radio, like, if you play them backwards, you get this evil message. So my friends, we were in a smaller community. We were country music fans. So we were like, let's try it. So we tried to play some country music backwards. You guys know what happens if you play country music backwards? You get your house back and your car back and your wife back and your job back. And feeling me. Little Father's Day joke, a little dad joke for you right there. You're welcome. But it reminded me of this story because, like, they were getting everything back. And maybe for a moment we could have just a little bit of grace for these guys to be like, they were dying. This was the course they were set on. This was an incurable disease. There was very minimal, if any chance at all, that they would be healed from this. And then one day Jesus shows up and everything changed. I mean, maybe like me, you sat through those Facebook videos when the military person comes back like a month early, the guy or the gal comes back early to greet their family. And they come running into surprise, and like from this side of Kokomo to that side of Rocheville, they run at each other at a full sprint, like, no, Dad, I'm like, it's allergy season in here. I'm gonna, like, you know, like, we get it. I get to go back to my family. I get to go back to my friends, my community. I'm no longer an outcast. I've been healed. Maybe for a moment we could have grace to say, yeah, that's reasonable. I bet if we could go back and chase one of them down and just ask, hey, Jesus healed you. How could you be so ungrateful? Oh, I didn't even think about it. I was just so filled with excitement and passion and joy. And I say that because I think sometimes we disassociate ourselves from the nine when in reality, maybe we're a lot more like the nine than the one. I mean, if really in context, if we read through the story of Christ through the New Testament, often we don't hear anyone returning to say thank you, to give thanks, and to express gratitude. More often than not, Jesus would heal people, and they would just go on about their business like they just showed up at the rental car place and they threw in free insurance, like, I'm out. And here we are, like, we become, as Christians, sometimes so judgmental of other people when in reality we're just not great at seeing ingratitude in ourselves. These other nine, man, they had all kinds of reasons to be excited, to be passionate. We can probably relate to them in ways that we want. We just simply often don't want. Whatever your experience was with Jesus, whatever it has been, whatever it even was today, what a great worship gathering today to be able to give thanks and praise to our God. Let's not get so busy or involved or entitled that we forget to take time to express our gratitude. I mean, no one ever concludes, like, I think I'm just going to be ungrateful today. I think today I'm going to recognize that people have been kind to me, outgoing to me, helped me, and I'm just going to choose not to express it. Like, we don't go there, but the problem is that gratitude and expressions of gratefulness is not a natural part. I mean, when we understand this good news, when we first come to Christ, it is so easy to be grateful. I was a sinner on my way to hell. I disqualified myself, and Jesus redeemed me. Jesus saved me and restored me and set me free. Jesus has come into my life, and I have surrendered my life to him. So much to be grateful for. And then the longer we live out this Christian life, the more complacent we get, and maybe, dare say, the more entitled we get. And we kind of forget to go back and to remind Jesus, really reminding ourselves, I really am thankful. I'm grateful. Couldn't do this on my own. There's no way that I could. And the thing is, like, we sometimes think of this like the work of Christ in me is past tense, and the reality is it's still happening every day. Jesus is doing miracles in our lives every single day. I mean, we wake up every day with the ability to be in the presence of our God. Holy cow, we can't take that for granted. And our mercies are restored every single morning. Like, we shouldn't take that as something that we're due or deserved. And God's presence in me to go with me as I go, like, that's life-changing. And if we just get stuck in this routine of been doing this a while. Today was a good day. What a great worship study. What an amazing set. It's fine. No. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the gift of giving me your presence. Thank you for the gift of forgiveness and grace and mercy. And thank you for the good things. And just to clarify, like, when we think about gratitude, we think about the damage it does in relationships. Understand that God isn't, like, sitting on his throne this morning like, you haven't said thank you in a week. You're grounded. He's not withdrawing his blessing but what happens is our grateful attitude, it changes our perspective and our approach to how we interact in the relationship with our Heavenly Father. Ingratitude, it disconnects us from healthy relationships in life. You know this because you've experienced it in human relationships. You've seen how ingratitude affects marriages. Maybe you're part of a marriage, or maybe you've seen a marriage where they were good, things were fine, and then they got together, got complacent, started taking each other for granted, stopped preparing each other for gratitude or presenting and expressing thanks to the normal routine, mundane things. And the next thing you know, they drifted apart. There was resentment. There was bitterness. They coexisted until they didn't. You see that with parents, with friends. When we take someone for granted, when we fail to express our gratitude, tears apart a relationship. It wasn't that these nine guys were like refusing, I'm not going back to tell him thank you. They were just overwhelmed with life. I'm sure that it wasn't that we said, you know what, I intended to not tell my husband thank you for taking the trash out. Like, we didn't intend to do that. Kids, we don't intend to keep going back to dad for money like, hey, can I get some more money to go out for lunch with my friends? We didn't intend to come off entitled like, dad, you owe me this money. But oftentimes, because of our lack of awareness of how we express or don't express gratitude, we do. And we do damage to relationships because we forget to express gratitude. Expressing gratitude is a big deal. If you're taking notes, this is worth writing it down. It's in there. Failing to express gratitude really expresses ingratitude. Failing to tell someone that I'm thankful is really telling them, communicating to them that I'm not thankful. I mean, if it's just stuck in my mind, no one else knows it, they don't experience it, and what I'm really doing is causing a breach in a relationship. If I don't express the gratitude that I know to be true, I'm really communicating and expressing, I'm not grateful for you. And that seems harsh, but that's the reality of what we do when our attitude gets skewed with ingratitude. It happens in our faith journey. For some of you, maybe you feel like you're in a spiritual desert. Maybe you're doing your best, you're going through the motions, you're reading, you're studying, you're praying, you're trying to do the right thing, like you're doing the check boxes of Christian living, but you're not experiencing God like you once did. You don't feel like he's with you. You don't hear from him like you once did. You just don't have that presence. You feel alone. And I might just offer this. It could be as simple as stopping what you're doing and going back to say thanks for what you've done. To express the gratitude. And again, like, it's not like God is withholding because we haven't expressed gratitude, but it shifts our perspective to submit to our God, to his goodness, to his plans, to his path. And even when I don't see it, and even when I don't realize it, or even when I don't think about it, my responsibility is just to remind myself to see it, to recognize it, to look in the mirror, to say, yeah, maybe, Or, yeah, for sure. I've been thinking it, but I haven't expressed it. Ingratitude, it modifies how we think. And gratitude modifies how we think. Expressing it changes the way that we live out our faith, live out our love for each other and for other people. Now, listen, no shame intended here. Like, I'm not attempting to try to make you feel like you should say thank you. Like, there should be a line after service today telling the pastor, thank you for this. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is the cure is actually quite simple. Verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he saw what Jesus had done. He recognized, he was aware, became aware of what Jesus had done. He simply came back to Jesus and shouted. We just did that this morning. Like, one of the reasons I love to get together for praise and worship, and you can do this on your own, so don't feel like it's only a Sunday morning thing, is it is a great time to tell God, to remind ourselves for how good he is, for what he's done and for what he's going to do. It's a great time to shout, praise God. But you can do that all the time. You don't have to have a band, and it's fun. You don't have to have the lights down, and it's great. But we can do that on a daily basis. And he didn't even stop there. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him for what he had done. Expressing gratitude, it changes how relationships flow. Because when we don't express gratitude, it changes how relationships flow. When I was growing up, I always grew up in the summertime working for my dad, either on his business or on his farm. And one particular summer, we were working on the farm a lot, so we were home. My mom was a school teacher, so she was home for the summer as well. And this one particular day, mom decides, hey, today I'm just going to make a really nice lunch for the boys. So she gets up early. She puts like 4 hours in the morning and trying to prepare lunch. I mean, we're talking grilled steaks, mashed potatoes, like all kinds of vegetables that I didn't like to eat. But man, there was all kinds of good stuff she was fixing. Even like some ice cream type dessert, like Oreo pudding with ice cream. It was amazing. So she hollers out, noon comes along, hey, lunch is ready. Dad and I come in, sit down at the table, no word spoken, inhaled our food, chugged the sweet tea that she had just brewed, out the door. Like, in my mind, that was a great lunch. Really enjoyed it. About an hour later, like, I'm getting kind of dehydrated because of all the carbs I've consumed, so I go back in the house to get some more of that sweet tea. I walk in, and my mom is standing at the sink, washing the dishes. And it appears that she may be rinsing the dishes with her tears. So I made a mistake. I said, Mom, what's wrong? Oh, keep your mouth closed, Luke. And my mom, don't shout me off the stage, moms. My mom responds, is it too much to get a thank you? Okay, wasn't that aggressive? That's just how I remember it. I love you, Mom. But you've been there before, right? Like, I put all this time in. And I just wanted to be able to sit down and visit for a little bit longer lunch with my husband and my son. And I just wanted to spend some time. And I wanted to show you how much I appreciated you. And I couldn't even get a thank you from it. It messed up our relationship. It devalued the effort that my mom had put in and the energy that she had spent on my behalf. It changed the flow of our relationship. Like, it caused a rift. It did some damage, and rightly so. Like, I was totally grateful for it. As I'm taking every bite of the steak, one of the reasons I didn't talk because I wanted to enjoy all the food while it was warm and the ice cream while it was still firm. Like, this was a big deal. And in my mind, like, Mom, this is great. But what I communicated was, I don't value you at all. I don't value the effort that you put in. And this is doing damage to our relationship. Unexpressed gratitude really communicates ingratitude. I don't value you. I don't appreciate you. It messes up the flow. Couple thoughts, couple reasons why, if you're taking notes. Letter A, unexpressed gratitude, it fosters entitlement. We don't want to think about it like that because we don't ever want to be entitled people. But over time, a series of being unexpressive in our gratitude, it fosters entitlement. I mean, my mom's lunch was good. I knew she worked hard. I knew it was great. I knew it was well prepared. It was enjoyable. It was some of my favorite foods. Like, it was good. But I didn't take the time to figure out how I could best thank her for it. And because of that, it leads to, and maybe parents don't shout me off the stage, over time, unexpressing our gratitude turns into, Mom, it's your job to make nice lunch. Dad, it's your job to pay for my food. It's your job to take care of me. Like, I would never say to my mom, it's your job to make a nice lunch, at least not within arm's reach. But we understand, like, that's a slope that's where it takes us. Ingratitude takes us down a trail, takes us through a journey where we end up at entitlement at some point, and some of us quicker than others. So our responsibility is to be aware enough to say, you know what, if I'm not being very grateful, then I'm going to become entitled. And if I become entitled, this is going to do a lot of damage to a lot of the most important relationships in my life. For some of us, that happens spiritually. For some of us who've been Christians so long, we get to a place where we're just kind of like, well, yeah, Jesus did that for me. He had to. God didn't give him a choice. I mean, we wouldn't say that. We wouldn't verbalize it. But we kind of think that way. We work like that, which leads us to, you know what? I can do what I want because I deserve his forgiveness. Or you know what? I can live how I want. I don't need to change anything because God's grace is going to cover me. His word says, if I ask for forgiveness, I'll ask, and his grace will cover me. So when I mess up, whatever. I'll ask for forgiveness when I get time. And we take for granted the sacrifice of Jesus. We take for granted the work that God has put into our lives, which flies in the face of the surrendered living to follow after Christ. It shifts our perspective to you owe it to me, which does damage to relationships. Letter B, the second one, unexpressed gratitude expresses rejection. We don't think of it like that. We just think, I forgot to say I'm thank you. But really what we're expressing is rejection. We're expressing that I not only didn't appreciate this, but I don't even like that you did it. I don't even want that you did it. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you've experienced that. You go into work. You spend extra time, extra hours. You put in extra effort at work, and then no one even recognizes it. Maybe you've gone above and beyond at practice. You're putting in extra effort. You're working so hard, and the coach didn't even acknowledge. Maybe in your relationship, maybe it wasn't good, and you decided, you know what, I'm just going to serve my spouse to death. And they didn't even pick up dirty dishes. We missed it. We felt it. We've been on the end of that where you feel like you failed. You feel unnoticed. You feel rejected because you went above and beyond and they expressed no gratitude. You just did the normal mundane and they still expressed no gratitude. One of the biggest factors, I believe, and while so many people are walking away from their faith is because they start to reject God because this very concept. Like they reject him because they took for granted all that Jesus has done. Or they reject God because they forget about the magnificence of what he continues to do. And we start to move down that slope where I wasn't thankful, I wasn't thankful, I wasn't thankful, I don't need it. I'm not thankful, I don't thank it, I don't need you. And we reject people, we destroy relationships, we hurt the things that matter the most because we didn't feel like we needed to appreciate them. We didn't feel like we needed to express it. It happens. It happened to these nine guys. Like, I get it. We get it. Like, it was overwhelming. It was exciting. It was fun. There was so much good. And then, like, we just got wrapped up in it. We left. We move on. And we want so badly to be the one, right? We want to be the one out of the 10. But the reality is that ingratitude will continually creep in. Like, we never just accidentally become more grateful or better at expressing our gratitude. Like, it's something we have to intentionally do. So I just want to give you a couple thoughts. How can we be more intentional about being grateful, about expressing gratitude? Number one, it's in your notes. Just do what the guy did. Go back and express it. Like there were 10. Let's be a 1 out of 10. But that's not bad odds. Like, we can be a 1 out of 10. We can come to a realization of the goodness and the greatness of our God, even in the most simple things. We can come to a realization in the goodness and the greatness of our spouse. We can, this might be a stretch, come to the realization of how great our kids are. And then just go back and express our gratitude. Just be 1 out of the 10. I want to be a 1. I want to go back and I want to express it. The only way to remain or to become a grateful person is to intentionally seek ways to express it. It's not going to happen naturally. I mean, it's never happened naturally. I mean, you remember, Dad's back me up. You remember when you're like 3 or 4 years old and you had a birthday party and Uncle Bill bought you that football you've been asking for 2 months and you opened it up and you're like, yep, it's a football. And then what happened? Your mom knows that being grateful, expressing gratitude, it's not natural. So what did mom say? What did mom say to you right then? We all know the phrase, what do you tell them? What do you say? And there's nothing more heartfelt than mom's insisted, thank you. Thanks. Like, we've been there, we get it, right? And sometimes as adults, we do the same thing. So later today, when I say, be grateful to someone, don't be like, Pastor told me to say thank you. No, not what we're talking about. It's got to be a heartfelt, it's got to be a perspective shift. It's unnatural, but gratitude develops and grows and flows through healthy relationships. And this is a big, big deal because in our faith, maybe this is the thing you need to walk away from today. We've been doing church for a while and we've taken some things for granted and you get caught up in the goodness and the greatness and the season of where we are and And sometimes as Christians, we've been in this game for a long time, so we start to look around at other people and realize, well, they really needed Jesus. Like, man, you better be thankful for the sacrifice he gave because you needed him, but I'm good. And there's this understanding, like I believed it when I was younger, there's this understanding that we think that the longer we're a Christian, the more mature we get in our faith, that the less and the less we're going to need Jesus. Like, as we become more Christ-like, I don't need as much of him to forgive me, to help me, to bless me, to encourage me, to strengthen me. So I'll just get to a place where, like, eventually, I don't even need Jesus. Like, I've been saved, and I'm moving on my own power. And I used to think, like, that was a sign of maturity until I realized that's the farthest thing from the truth. Like, as I get more mature in my faith, I just realize the bigger gaps I have in doing this right, the more marks that I miss, the more sin that I allow in. Like, this is a big deal in our lives. We know as believers, as mature believers, that the more mature I get, the more I recognize I can't do this without him. I'm unable to be able to live even a day, a moment, without Jesus at work in me. We got to get to this point where we recognize, like, it's not about me telling people how they should live. It's about me submitting to Jesus, surrendering my life to say, you know what, I'm grateful for everything that you've done. I don't want to take my Savior for granted. I don't want to take his presence for granted. I don't want to take his power and his purpose for granted. I want to be so incredibly grateful that it expresses out of me as an overflow of how I live. As I grow in my faith, I want to be more expressive of my thankfulness and my gratefulness to my God. You know, it's not by accident I talked about this on Father's Day. Parents are the least appreciated people on the planet. I mean, we get it. They love us the most. They're there the most, but we take them for granted so easy. Like dads, man, we are great at not telling dad thank you enough. I'm great at not telling my dad thank you enough. So I would just encourage you today, not just because it's Father's Day and not just because the preacher told you so, but to truly express gratitude towards your dad. I recognize that for some of you that may not be as easy. For some of you, maybe you had an absent dad, or maybe you had a dad that just didn't do that, the things that you needed. But I bet you had a father figure in your life that could still use that appreciation. A father figure who you could express that gratitude to. Maybe it's a mom, a family member, a close family friend. I bet somebody did their best. And let's be real, like even the best dads, they don't get it right all the time. They don't get it perfect. I mean, I'm pretty good, my kids would say. They're laughing, perfect. But you know what? Maybe we weren't the easiest to raise either. I bet there's some things in our life that we could attribute to the father figures we had. I also get for some of us on Father's Day that maybe your dad is already gone. And you'd give just about anything to have a moment where you can go back and just say thank you and give him a big hug one more time. I would just encourage you and invite you to be creative in ways that you can express that gratitude towards your father. Maybe it's a letter, maybe it's a card, maybe it's just a post on Facebook. Maybe it's just attributing, you know what, I'm going to recognize and realize some of those things that I appreciated so much about my father figure that I'm going to try my best to live out those qualities and express my gratitude by how I live in that behavior and live with that direction and that guidance. And we can be so much better. This isn't a dig. This is an inspiration. We can be so much better at expressing gratitude. We can be so much better going out of our way to express gratitude, to come back, to shout, to scream, to drop to our knees, to say, thank you, thank you. Number two, look for reasons to be grateful. That sounds so simple. Look for reasons to be grateful. In every situation in life, there will always be something to be grateful. It may be tiny. It may take a microscope. It may take Pastor Mike's telescope from camp. Like, it may take work. If you were here last week, we talked about just the good news and the joy and how when we change our perspective, it develops how we look and feel joy and understand joy. First Thessalonians, Paul, he told us that real simple truth. He says, be thankful in all circumstances. And that sentence fragment, it gets so easy to get stuck on. Like, in all circumstances? In all circumstances. Be thankful in all? Like, what about when I don't feel like there's anything to be thankful for? There's always something to be thankful for. And it may be small, but what happens is when we turn our attention to look for thankful things to be thankful for instead of turning our attention to things to criticize, it changes our perspective. And this is a big deal. Paul agrees. For this is God's will for those of you who belong to Christ. What can we be thankful for in this season? You maybe have heard the analogy before. I mean, it's pretty common. Life is like a roller coaster. Like, you got the big highs and you got the crashes down low. And everything is just up and down. And I don't know about you, like, if you get caught up in the roller coaster of life, life gets overwhelming real quick. I think of life a little bit more like a train. I heard this analogy before. Life is a whole lot more like a train track. Right? There are two tracks. At any given moment of life, there is something that needs improved. It may be small. It may seem real significant. At any given time, there is something I could pray about, I could pray for, something that could use improvement, but at any given moment, there is something to be thankful for. And the difference really in our what we feel as a roller coaster is really just our lean to one side of the rail or another. For some of us, we've been on this rail over here. Man, this is no good. This is terrible. This is rough. And I get it. Life's tough. But we could probably change our perspective if we would just look for things to be thankful for. We could just look for things to be grateful for. What if the most critical view we could take of something was to find something in it to be thankful for? It changes our perspective. It changes how we talk. It changes how we love. It changes how the relationships that we are in flows. I get that things may not be great in your marriage or in your home right now. Find something to be thankful for and express your gratitude. It may be small. Thank you for not throwing trash on the floor. Good enough. Take it as a win. Thank you for putting your dirty clothes close to the laundry basket. Good enough. It's a win. Find things to be thankful for. Number three, be generous with gratitude. Sometimes generosity gets pigeonholed into only talking about money. Like, to be generous means to be giving with money. And I would encourage you, be generous with gratitude. Be abundant and overflowing and over the top with gratitude. When this guy returns to Jesus, he didn't, and this isn't bad, but he didn't walk up and be like, man, Jesus, thanks for healing me. That's great. But he went over the top. He came back, scripture says what? Screaming, shouting, praising God, and then threw himself at his feet. How different would it look in your living room tonight when your kids come to tuck you in? Mom, thank you! Maybe over the top, maybe too far. But I bet there's a level of generous gratitude you can express. And I bet it would be contagious in your home. And I bet it would be contagious in your marriage. And I bet it would be contagious in your faith. If we can generously express our gratitude. If ingratitude damages the flow of healthy relationships, then the opposite is true as well. Gratitude improves the flow of healthy relationships. In fact, this is in your notes. Gratitude reproduces generosity. You've been here before, right? When you do something for someone and they are generous with their gratitude for you, it inspires you to be more generous to them, right? Like you've been there. You've done something really nice for someone, and then they come in over the top, tears in their eyes. Thank you so much. You don't walk away like, yep, never helping them again. It inspires you to be more generous back to them and creates a cycle of a healthy flow in a relationship. What if we could be generous in our generosity of gratitude? What if we could go over the top to our spouse, to our kids, to our parents, to our coworkers, to our brothers and sisters, to our church family, to our neighbors, to our boss, and to our God? The good news, God gave his one and only son that I never take it for granted, that I never act entitled to it, but I continually express my gratitude. Let's be a church that leads the charge to be the one to go back and say thank you, to express our gratitude. Let's be the church that models it for everyone around us. I am so grateful, first and foremost, to the sacrifice my Savior made for me. But I'm grateful for the people around me. I'm grateful for my neighbors and my coworkers. I'm grateful for my friends and my family. Let's lead the way to make sure that we express gratitude like nobody else. Let me pray with you. God, truly, from my heart, from the depths of my heart, I'm thankful. God, I am so thankful for the gift that you gave, for the grace that you've extended, for the love and the mercy that you have leaned my way. Jesus, I thank you for giving your life as a sacrifice for mine. And God, in the moments where I take that for granted or I act like I deserve that, God, remind me, pierce my heart to know that that is not something to take lightly, but to be eternally, every day grateful for. God, I thank you for the friends and the families and the friendships that are in this room. I thank you for the church that you've called us to be. I thank you for the community you've placed us in. I thank you that in the days where it seems difficult and it seems challenging, that God, you've still given us so much to be thankful for. And God, help us to shift that perspective, to see that, to know that, and to truly express our gratitude. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.